Welcome, everybody. I'm afraid to ask this too much. Squeaky microphone. So thank you for coming this morning. We're really excited to see so many people in here. We are going to talk a little bit today about priming your institution for success with learning analytics, and specifically about an instrument that we've created and are looking for some beta partners. So you'll hear about that at the end. I want to give you a little context before we get into that. But
just a quick note, we are being streamed live today, so hi to all of our online people. If you have questions, though, the folks in online land want to hear them. And so if you could please step to the mics that are in the center aisle to ask your questions. We welcome your questions throughout our presentation. We intend to leave a good 15 minutes or more to be able to discuss anything that comes up. But if there's something in the middle that says, what about that? Or if you want some more additional clarification, please don't hesitate to stop us. Just grab one of the mics in the middle and ask your question that way. Thanks.
Right. And also, since we are being streamed, if you want to do some interpretive dance, the stage is open. So if you want to ask your question that way. So we just want to start out. We want to get a quick understanding of where people in this room is, and folks on the audience, you can streaming, you can weigh in as well. We're trying to get an idea of where different institutions are with learning analytics. When you think about your readiness to start an implementation, sort of where are you? So the four options, you know, are up here. So we're either ready, we need a little planning, but we're basically ready. We've talked about learning analytics, but no plans, or we're not ready, we haven't started talking. So can folks raise their hands if you think, A, you're ready to go? Okay, I see no hands. What about B? We need a little planning, but we're basically ready. Oh, I see three. I see one sort of wavering up, maybe sort of like this. So two and a half, okay. What about we've talked about it, but we've made no real concrete plans? Far more, okay. That seems to be the majority of the group here. And what about D? We're just not ready. All right. So still a pretty good chunk of the people, about a quarter of that. So this is good. We want to make sure everybody knows most of the institutions are on a pretty, most of us are sort of in this middle range where we need some planning, but we think we're basically ready, or we're definitely in major conversations about going forward with this. Today what we're going to do is just a really quick overview of the national agenda around learning analytics, talk about the concept of readiness, which is very important when we talk about moving forward with any initiative. And then we're going to talk about assessing readiness, as well as the Learning Analytics Readiness Instrument, which we hope to get some feedback on from you guys. And we'll talk about future directions and have lots of time for discussion at the end, hopefully. So let's start out with a quick national view of learning analytics. Everybody in this room has heard of learning analytics, right? Who knows how to define it? Yeah. None of us really know how to define it exactly. And depending on the context and the goals of institutions, it can be defined very differently. And so it's definitely something that's really big in education right now. It's definitely a buzzword. We know that this has been in the last three Horizon reports, and we saw yesterday that it's showing up in the 2014 edition as well. So learning analytics is definitely something that it's not a trend, it's not going away. But it's also a very complex concept, and it's not something that is a silver bullet, and it's definitely not a plug-and-play solution. Gardner cycle? Is everybody familiar with the Gardner hype cycle? So this is a cycle that sort of talks about the interaction of humans and technology and the relationships and what can be transformational. And what we see on here, you see the big arrow there is pointing to big data. In the case of learning analytics, we're talking about big data science applied to educational settings. There's a whole lot of other things that we see on the hype cycle here that can be construed as learning analytics, depending on the context of the institution and what their intent is. We see things like prescriptive analytics going on the way up the innovation trigger here. We see quantified self. We talked about that yesterday a lot in several sessions. And you see big data nearing what we call the peak of inflated expectations. So this is one of the reasons you see so much about learning analytics right now is there so much potential and so much promise with the practice of learning analytics, yet the science is still emerging. You see, coming down towards a little bit, we see things like content analysis, and we see predictive analytics all the way on the right there, which has reached what Gardner terms the plateau of productivity. So the big thing that we want to point out here, we don't want to spend too much time here, but we want to point out that learning analytics, big data, is at the top of the hype cycle right now. And so there's a lot of work, and if you see here, it says 5 to 10 years to full adoption of big data implementations. And so there's a lot of work to get there, but there's this little trough of disillusionment sort of looming ahead of us in a lot of this, because we are at the peak of inflated expectations. We know that we have to get through that to push through to the plateau of productivity. We're certainly working on that. And what this all boils down to on a national and international level is that there's a lot of big buzz around this idea, and there's a whole lot of big expectations. Anybody in here have any really huge expectations for learning analytics? Yeah. Lots of folks sort of nodding their head and raising their hands. You know, this is one of the things that's supposed to really help us transform education. And so, and all of us up here have really high hopes for it as well. But we've also been in it, so we know we have to sort of study some, put some realistic parameters on this. So the big question is, are we ready to implement something? Whether it's a small scale project or trying to do systemic level thinking about it, are we ready? So let's just talk really briefly here about the concept of readiness surrounding learning analytics. Tap out Merriam-Webster dictionary here. What does readiness mean? I'm not going to explain it to you. They've already defined it. So it's your willingness to do something. Very important. The state of being fully prepared for something. Immediacy, quickness, and promptness. All things that define what readiness is. And in terms of learning analytics, when we start thinking about this, we know that there's going to be significant investment of time, resources, and money getting anything to scale. So all of these have to play into consideration when you start thinking about adopting a learning analytics initiative. So the three of us up here have been doing learning analytics for, well, nearly since the term was coined, more or less, which was about 2005. I didn't get into it till 2007, about the same time, you know, 2007, 2008. So we've been doing this for a long time, and one of the things we know is that success in learning analytics with any project is not going to happen accidentally. There has to be a lot of thoughtful deliberation about going forward, setting goals, and that type of things. We also know that the logistics can be exceptionally daunting, especially if it's something more than one course. You're trying to do something broader than a single course. And so we know that institutional reflection is absolutely critical in going forward and being ready. And so we developed an instrument that we think is going to be key in helping folks move forward, reflect as an institution, and make some good decisions going forward. And I will hand it over to Matt.
Good morning. There are some seats up at the tables, please, and there's a few in the middle, please. If you're standing in the back and you're wanting to sit, please feel free to find a seat. Again, my name is Matt Pastilli, and I'm one of the researchers on this project. And part of the assessment of readiness is really kind of understanding where we are with pieces. Within the last couple of years, ECAR actually came out with an analytics maturity study. And this is a really helpful index, assuming that you've already implemented something, because maturity is going to tell you how far along the adoption and the maturity curve you are with that in that realm. And when you talk about, there's a lot of work that's been done on the landscape side of things as well. Notably, Norris and Baer, B-A-E-R, have done a lot of work in this frame as well. But the landscape tells us what's out there. The maturity index tells us how mature we are in actually adopting something, assuming we've adopted something. There's this whole middle space of, well, how do I get from understanding the landscape to becoming mature? And that was the space that we tried to fill with the LARI or the LARI. and through this notion of reflection. And so we felt that we really needed to have a good comprehensive understanding. And by we, I mean institutions that are going to embark down this road with these grandiose proclamations from your Ivy Tower administration. I say this because I deal with them a lot on my own campus. We've got folks who are in the utmost power levels of power on our campus saying analytics is going to be the silver bullet and the savior of everything. And we know that's not true. We know that it can help contribute to those pieces, but it really has got to take a coordinated effort. It's got to be broadbanded across the institution before we're actually going to be able to implement something positively and in a way that's actually going to work. And so this comprehensive understanding of what analytics is, who needs to be involved, what each player needs to do, how data works, things along those lines, all of these pieces came into play. Further, we recognize through our own individual projects that we've worked with and working with multiple institutions that there's a need for multiple perspectives. So it's not just the IT group going forth and saying, we're going to do analytics, and everybody's saying, great, and they're not going to do that. And any more than the faculty saying, we're going to do analytics, and everybody else is just going to fall behind. It takes folks from all sides of the university, from the IT side, from the faculty side, from the administration, student support side, from student affairs. It takes a really broad group of folks to be able to positively and properly and effectively implement analytics. And in that group, we also need a diverse set of expertise and skills. And so you don't need just statisticians. They're important, but you don't need just them. You don't need just coders. You need those as well. But you need folks who are coders. You need statisticians. You need folks who understand student support. You need folks who understand teaching pedagogy. You need folks who understand how all these pieces are going to play together. And at multiple levels of the institution, you need folks at the top. You need your presidents and provosts involved. You also need your students involved, and you need everybody in between, because ultimately you're trying to affect teaching to increase student success, usually, is where we're going with learning analytics. And so you need all the players involved from top to bottom in that regard. There's this, a distinct set of intent. So understanding the intent behind why it is you're actually going down the learning analytics realm. Do you have a stated goal? Do you have measurable objectives? Those are really, really important pieces. What's the strategy behind both going into learning analytics? Why are we doing it? And then once you're into it, how are you going to promulgate it? How are you going to promote it? How are we going to work forward with it? And how are you going to continue to make it practical, parsimonious, and proactive? So practical from a sense of, have you scaled it at a point where you can still manage it? Have you made it parsimonious enough so that it's actually fairly simple to understand and not a difficult process for people to engage with? And proactive from a sense of, rather than being reactive to a student, so often our supports are reactive to students. We try to help students be better students after we recognize that they're failing. So the proactive part is, how do we get information in front of them first so that it lessens the likelihood of them doing poorly and hopefully hits that on the front end? And so all of these pieces we kind of mush together, our own experiences, some of the theories that are out there around student success, around learning analytics, going back to Siemens and Long in 2005. And we developed the Learning Analytics Readiness Instrument. And Steve's going to walk us through the instrument itself and our factors and our process for getting here.
Thanks, Matt.
Again, I'm Steve Lawn. I am from the University of Michigan. I'm collaborating with these fun folks. So here's our framework. Very scaffolding-like. So our framework for trying to figure out what should be in this survey instrument for our initial, I guess, our pre-pilot is, I guess, how we'll describe what we did so far, is we drew from the learning analytics literature quite a bit. So learning analytics literature talks about learning analytics, as Kim talked about, as rich learning-related data sets. And really, as they're exposed to various learning and various analytic techniques, and that we really use the frame that learning analytics is designed to support teaching and learning, teaching and or learning for the purposes of actionable intelligence. So with that frame, it's, can we provide an institution profile with readiness indicators? And not just saying you're either ready or not, but valid steps. So if you're already collecting all the data, it's all there, it's ready to go, but you don't know how to act upon that data or what to do with the data, what are the actionable steps you can take towards that to help move forward and get ready and actually do something? And what's a valid roadmap to move you along that? So we're talking about is in terms of prescriptive diagnostic. to help determine where the areas of strength and where you can improve. So our pre-pilot, I guess, again, the survey was based on literature, the ECAR Maturity Index, which Matt just talked about, and our own experience with learning analytics, as well as kind of our knowledge of the field. Both we've all been and presented at the Learning Analytics and Knowledge Conference, or LAK. We've been very experienced in the field. Kim's on the numerous EDUCAUSE review articles. So we've all been in this space for quite a while. And we took that survey and we piloted it with 9 institutions. That instrument was fairly long, so if any of those 9 institutions are in the room, we thank you, because it started with 139 items. It was a long survey. It took about 20, 25 minutes in the initial thing. But that intent was, we wanted to be broad. We wanted to say which things stick to the wall, which things are really important, and which things can kind of fall out and maybe aren't as important or don't really map across institutions. So across those institutions, which were 8 of them were in the U.S. and 1 was Canadian, we had 33 participants. And then we conducted what's called in statistical land exploratory factor analysis, or EFA. And sorry, statistical land. Yeah. It's a magical place where numbers float away and you get things called significance. It's awesome. And through EFA, we actually did multiple rounds, and we eliminated 49 of those items and collapsed and reconfigured the factors. So let me talk real quick about where we began. So we began looking across that literature again. We started with kind of 5 areas that we thought really kind of captured where learning analytics was. Do you have the ability to, munge data, to collect data, to analyze data, to take that data and build tools and act upon those tools and actually affect whatever your mission is related to teaching and learning outcomes? Do you have the data? Which data do you have? How much of it do you have? Who has it? Is there access to it? Governance, infrastructure. So that gets, again, some of that. Is your IRB involved? Is your registrar involved? Is admissions involved? Is the library involved? What's the culture for learning analytics on campus? I was literally in the hallway this morning and someone said, how's your faculty reacting to learning analytics? Because ours is just balking at it. So what are ways that people are talking about analytics already? Do they accept data as it is? Do they challenge anytime you present a slide with the big numbers? What does that mean? And process. So a lot of the things that are the stepwise to get to these, do you have the steps in place to enact that process? So ability, map to ability, that was good. So we got that factor pretty well. Data was pretty much data. So we pretty much did a really wide swath. Some of the data elements fell out, so some of the things that weren't as important. So we included everything, including are you collecting all of the institution, all of the internal surveys that everyone does at your campus? That one, not so much, I don't think. Governance infrastructure mapped, and then things got a little different. So culture and process actually combined when we did our factor analysis. So these things are very intertwined in terms of people's responses. And then, while we didn't necessarily attend it, there is kind of this overall readiness perception. So coming from some of all these other factors, there, especially I think some of them came from culture and some of governance and structure and even ability. There is this kind of factor of overall, is there a perception of readiness at your institution? And so the factors explain 56% of the variation, which is actually pretty good because there's a lot of variation when we're talking about something as nebulous as learning analytics. And the Cronbach's alpha, for statistics folks in the room, we had a Cronbach's alpha of 0.946, which gives us a really high level of internal consistency within the factors. So that's pretty good. So the idea for institutional feedback for our beta, which we're essentially launching today, we'll have an email address at the end here, we can come volunteer, is that we want to not just be one-to-one. It's not just one person from your institution takes the survey and you're done. It's that, are you getting a representation across the swath? So is your CIO, our faculty, or even students, different staff members, are they all involved? Are they taking the survey? And then then we calculate scores from these multiple people and they're compiled. and then institutional readiness score is provided, both an overall and then for each of those five domains. So we can give you, you know, here's your kind of score, and kind of like the analytics maturity index, here's kind of where you are, you kind of low, middle, high within that individual factor. And then we're going to have broad domain-specific feedback, as well as prompts for exploration. So what do I mean by that? So we've drafted a few things. So examples of our feedback. So this is domain description. I'm sorry, there's a lot of text, so pardon me. I know people hate reading some slides, but for the folks in the back and online, I should read it. So governance, the governance and infrastructure component exists to encourage reflection of foundational aspects of learning analytics. Elements included in this category include technical infrastructure, institutional governance, policies, and oversight. Additionally, this component includes perception of institutional investment in learning analytics and professional staff who possess skills and experience related to data management, training, and documentation. That's a lot of stuff. Wow. So the idea is that within governance, then we'll give you feedback, depending if you're low, middle, high, and so we'll give you overall feedback in that domain, and then we'll also give you, for each question that you scored within that, we'll give you specific steps. So if you scored low in, say, technical infrastructure, what are steps you can move to improve that? So here's an overall feedback. So if your ability is low, so this is, again, this is the broad feedback. If overall your ability category is low, we might say something like, success in learning analytics is highly dependent on the skills, abilities, and expertise of the individuals that comprise the institution. Depending on the goals of the learning analytics initiative, the skills, abilities, and expertise will be very different. We need the wordsmith. And check for typos. For example, if the goal of the initiative is to develop a series of predictive algorithms via machine learning requiring the requisite skills, they'll be different than if the goal is to adapt an off-the-shelf software solution for personalized interventions from advisors. And a different set of expertise will be necessary if your institution's goal is to adapt discourse-centric analysis for targeted assessment for a first-year writing program. So it's very goal-specific. And so if you, so here's item level. So we're digging further and further deep into the survey. So if you had a high score on a question about security policies, say, practices that ensure the protection of data are necessary. So it's good that these are in place. However, analytics efforts can be often hampered by policies not explicitly allowing use and over the combination of data sets, even though research policies and other laws allow it. An institution must strike a balance between safeguarding information and still allowing its broad use for the betterment of students and the institution as a whole. That's a lot to parse. Yeah. Matt's going to talk to us more.
So where does that leave us? At this point, what we've really got, so we have a refined, slightly more parsimonious. We dropped 49 items, but those of you who can do math, we're down to 90 items still. It's lengthy. We know it's lengthy, but there's a lot to consider. And then we're still working at building out our feedback and making it both wordsmithed and Aaron typo-free, but also trying to make it relevant as well. And so here, our next steps at this point, we're seeking beta partners. Kim alluded to this earlier. We are looking for institutions that would be interested in participating with us in a beta implementation. And so volunteering to have multiple people on your campuses participate and things along those lines. As part of that beta, we're also going to refine the instrument again. We'll run a secondary factor analysis, actually probably a confirmatory one at this point, once we have a great deal more data, that's really going to help us know that we've really, if we've solidified those factors or not. And then at the end of the day, what we really want to get to is automated and tailored feedback. In this beta implementation, it's going to be pretty manual, and we'll be, the survey responses will come in, but one of the three of us will be the ones actually kind of attaching the feedback on the front end until we're able to, one, both make sure that the feedback is good and useful, and then two, able to automate that as well. And so in the beta partner realm, here's what we're looking for. Here's our expectations. The expectations you can have of us is that we're going to be timely, that we're going to be honest with you and provide you feedback, and that we're happy to work with you once you've taken the survey to kind of understand what we've got, and potentially even provide some additional information that the survey isn't kind of going from there. From the expectations from the institution standpoint, we're looking for somebody to lead the project on your end. And by project, really what we're going to want you to do is wrangle 10 to 15 people from across the university, probably not students at this point. This is really more administrator, faculty, staff type of a realm in terms of understanding the analytics piece and whether or not you're ready to go down the road of analytics. We're going to ask you to provide us some honest and constructive feedback. Is the feedback we're giving you good, worthwhile, helpful? Is it all jargony and not helpful at all? What would you suggest that you would have got? What would you have preferred to have read? Content being important, but context being more so as well. And then also potentially participate in a short follow-up study with us on the use and effectiveness of the report. And so ultimately, we'll give you as much feedback as we're able to give you, but we're also going to look for that as well from you to kind of help us better the instrument and really make this a much more applicable across the board. If you're interested in participating, that email, lari.pilot@gmail.com or lari.pilot@gmail.com, send a note there. We'll be in contact with you to kind of scale things out. There's no cost for this at all. At this point, it's your time. I see a hand in the back. Is that a question? Yeah. Can you step to one of the mics, please? Sorry. There's online folks who want to hear you, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is it applicable to the European situation? So are the questions or the parts in the instrument?
That's a great question. And the best answer to that is we don't know. I think our biggest we want to know. I think what the feedback that we've gotten, so one of our pilot institutions, early pilot institutions, was a Canadian institution. And all of the pieces except governance and infrastructure seem to work really, really well for them. But the governance and infrastructure of American higher education is rather unique. And we're not sure about the broad applicability. So if you're interested in participating, let us know. We can converse. We would like this to be broader than just the United States. But to do that, we're going to need some expertise and some involvement from folks outside the states to give us a better understanding of what's applicable, particularly in that governance realm, and what's not, so that we can, again, better the survey and potentially have multiple versions of it based on locale in the world or things along those lines, or even just type of institution. We may find, because this survey was done with all large public institutions, it's quite possible that a small private is going to have a very different need and a very outcome. We just don't know. And so this is part of where the beta is going to hopefully lead us.
Can I just say one thing quickly about that?
Sure.
I don't think it's on. So just the one other thing I want to say about this. So this is still in beta format, and so while it might not be exactly applicable and the feedback may not be as useful for other institutions, we are trying to build this out. But this activity should be exceptionally useful for your institution regardless of where you are, getting all of the right people to participate and then look at the results, talk about it, discuss ways to go forward. So if nothing else, this should be a very useful framework for moving forward about discussions with learning analytics on your campus.
And with that, we'll leave our contact information up. The Lari email is there as well. We've got about 15 minutes for questions and discussion. We'll entertain whatever. Again, please use the mics in the center. I know it's a little cumbersome, but the folks online do want to hear what it is you're asking. We can repeat from here too, but it's just easier if you can use the mics. So what questions or what comments do you have?
I want to follow up on something somebody tweeted.
John Becker.
Is he in the room?
Hi, John.
Awesome. The comment that you made on Twitter, and at the very beginning, we were talking about big data reaching sort of the inflated peak of expectations. And John tweeted out that learning analytics is not always equated with big data. You can use very small data and get exceptionally meaningful results. We were just using this sort of as a trend. And typically a lot you see it associated with big data. That was a great point, so thanks for pointing that out. Yes. Yeah, it's a little hard to get through the rows there.
When you were discussing about governance, and I'm a librarian, and you'd mentioned the registrar's office of the library. Could you expand on how the library could be involved with learning analytics?
Let's let Steve take that one.
Yeah, seeing how I'm in the library. We haven't necessarily implemented all of it yet, but we are in discussions of what data could the library provide in terms of collections, electronic reserves, there's a lot of touch points the library has in terms of students. There's been some work from the University of Minnesota is one of the first ones I know of who took library data and tied it to some student success metrics. There are questions about privacy and how students or other folks that use the library, particularly those in the public, opt in or opt out of such an effort. But that's something that we're looking at our institution to implement in the next year.
There was a tweet earlier about who's not involved in this process, which I kind of found amusing because this is when I think I was rattling off that you need everybody involved. And it does, to some extent, take a village. It takes the entire village. It takes the entire university. But to some extent, who's not involved, frankly, are often those who don't want to be or who don't understand how they can lend value to that process. And so if you are interested in betaing the instrument, or even if you're just having discussions on your own campus, things to consider of where are there valuable pockets of data? Where is there valuable pockets of information? And data, I mean, as a very broad term, could be qualitative, could be quantitative. I have a colleague who calls just notes out of the blue anecdata, not anecdotal, but anecdata, which a good place to start is often with the anecdata. Somebody comes and says something and it resonates, and so then we're going to dig in a little bit further. So they tell you a story, and you're able to go down that rabbit hole. But, you know, in terms of, you know, how can libraries be involved? Libraries can be involved however they wish to be involved to some extent. And I know that's a really crappy answer, but at the end of the day, it's really, if you want to be involved, then you put yourself at the table and if you're not in the libraries, engage the folks in the libraries. I know at Purdue we're doing a lot with information literacy, and it's being driven straight out of our library system. And so if we can wrangle some of the information literacy data, some of this is going to come from assessment, some of it's going to come from use, some of it's just going to come from mere presence in the library. So not even knowing what they've done, just whether or not they were in the building. And being able to correlate those pieces and start factoring those pieces in as well. And so my point in all of this is, yeah, everybody is involved. Not everybody has to be, but in order to have the biggest bang for your buck, in order to have the most effect in the long run, you need to include as many people on the front end and then filter out for your own campuses what is and is not going to be a useful process or a useful piece of data in your algorithm. That's not to say it's not useful broadly. It just may or may not. It just may not fall into ultimately whatever it is you choose to predict. Other thoughts or questions? Anybody from online? We have a moderator just waiting to ask your questions. I'm counting to 10. Yes.
How are these initiatives being situated on your campuses within the academic assessment world? Sure. So I assume you have offices of assessment. Is this separate from that? I imagine they're included. How is that working?
I think we can each take a stab at that. Tim, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Great. So what we're doing at University of Wisconsin is learning analytics is obviously one of the things we're using to help provide more robust and more real-time feedback to students. What that means is that there's a lot of people that need to be at the table. And we traditionally, in institutions of higher education, are often very siloed. And so part of this is the cultural work that comes around to pulling people from all of the different offices, from like academic planning, institutional research. That's where like the accreditation efforts sort of come out of there. We don't have an assessment center per se at Wisconsin, and so that's not involved, but we certainly then are reaching out to different centers on campus that do help address that type of initiative. And for us, there's a lot of cultural work and bringing people together and getting a common lexicon about what we even mean when we say learning analytics. And when we took the survey, we found that one of our low places at UW-Wisconsin was culture. And that was simply, it's not that the culture was anti-learning analytics, but there just wasn't enough information out there enough. There wasn't enough information around about what it was, what the intent was, what the goals was. So it was really important for us to create
goals, and we're still in the process of doing that right now and saying, here's the goals, and here's how we're defining it in context at UW-Madison. And then that can feed down to other areas for alignment.
At Purdue, we're trying to figure out where it actually is going to be situated in the long run. Our initial initiatives started in IT in concert with a couple of faculty members. And that has grown, and it continues to be situated within IT, and we continue to work with faculty as they wish to implement. Since then, though, our provost and our provost office has been very much interested in getting a handle on what's going on with analytics at the institution. There's four or five disparate projects going on within IT alone focused on analytics, and we're in the middle of hiring 15 to 20 faculty in a big data cluster. And right now, from my own perspective, it's limited, so I'm going to preface that right now. My own perspective, though, is that there's not a lot of coordination across these pieces, and so we're pretty distributed. I think our culture, we're Purdue to fully do this survey. We had a few folks pilot it, but not enough to make a good determination of whether or not we were high or low in realms. But were we to do it, I would suspect that we would be pretty low in the culture realm. And probably in the governance infrastructure realm as well, only because we are so distributed and there are lots of different players who may or may not be talking to each other. So I don't know that we're exactly the model that you want to follow. I think we have a lot of the pieces in place, but there's going to take some very strong coordination. I think we're down that path as well. I'm happy to talk about that offline if folks are interested in discussing further.
Okay. You guys can hear me with this thing? Yeah, okay. So at Michigan, we actually started with more of a conversation, and it started with myself and two faculty members organizing what we called the Symposium on Learning Analytics at Michigan, or SLAM. And this was a series of every other week having mostly local but also some external folks come and talk about really the broad umbrella of what learning analytics could be. So these are mainly folks who are doing something with learning-related data and doing something with it that was actionable. So there are probably folks on your campus who are doing something like that. They just don't necessarily know they're doing learning analytics, because as we talked about, it's a really wide definition. So we start with that, and then one of the faculty members who helped organize that series talked with our provost and established a task force on learning analytics, which had a three-year mission to continue that series, to understand better the landscape in our own institution of what metrics are currently being used. For example, they looked at all the metrics about teaching evaluations and where some better ways to rethink that. And they also initiated a series of local grants. So we could do what we called Exploring Learning Analytics grants, where a small group could kind of say, I want to do this, and I want to build a tool or establish this set of data and really look at this kind of narrow-ish question that could be then applied. So that task force is now just over halfway through its kind of task run. And now we're looking at where some maybe broad institutional tools we could build that would help faculty and staff and others really answer some of these questions and be able to say, here's this big universe of data. What are specific tools that we can dig into that data, answer even more questions?
We have an online question.
We have an online question. Woo-hoo. And it is, can you talk more about the policy you have to keep the data safe? And also, can you talk about how you send verbiage to the faculties so that they don't think the Big Brother is looking over their course?
We haven't figured that out quite yet. So, again, like with many big initiatives, these are ongoing and iterative conversations that we're having on our campus. And the data usage and security is obviously very important, especially if when we're talking about learning, we're talking at pretty risky things, whether we're making predictions about them or trying to do adaptive pedagogy or anything along those lines. These are things that are very important, so we need to make sure that the security of the data itself is really good. We certainly have world-class experts in keeping the data itself safe.
where you start seeing some interesting things is when you start using tools or trying to develop tools that are bridging sources from multiple data warehouses, and that can be very tricky. So we work in very close consort with our IT people on that. As far as the faculty not thinking big brothers looking over their shoulders, this is going to be a long-term thing where we have to show incremental gains and grow trust in sort of our initiatives. Learning analytics is meant to help them as well as the students. Now, this is really important, is that this is very context and institution specific. There are institutions who have said, we will use this to look at, you know, curricular design, and then faculty can really quickly be led into believing that this will soon go into teaching evaluations, this will go into my tenure dossier, all of this. And so you have to be very clear and transparent with what you're doing, what data will and will not be used for, and that's no different than any other technology that you're using. It's all about transparency and openness.
Yeah, I think one way to combat the faculty piece is to actually include them in the planning, include them in the policy decisions and the policies that get made around the use of learning analytics. If they're involved in that process, then they're clearly their voice will be there. And so I think that's one way. It's not the catch-all. It's not the only way. I'm sure there are others. The other piece, too, to remember to think about with the data security realm is that FERPA, in the United States anyway, for American institutions, FERPA allows for this kind of data to be used in this way. We can use student data to help our students be more successful. And so it's really working with whomever your FERPA steward is, usually the Office of the Registrar. On those regards, at Purdue we have data stewards who kind of oversee how our data is collected and maintained and used across the institution. And so it's, and we have, I think there's 15 of them, because why have one when you have 15? And so we have 15 of them. And so it's working with those folks as we need to. Again, it's informing. It's keeping folks abreast of what's going on, involved in the process, involved in the conversation. We've also had to do, to some extent, some teaching. We've had to teach our IRB, our Institutional Research Board folks, what it is we're trying to do and what it is we're trying to accomplish. That was a long conversation. It was a very difficult conversation because they just didn't understand. Essentially what we're doing is that as an institution, we're looking to assess ourselves. We're looking to research ourselves to figure out what we're doing and then turn around and put that back into play. So it's not just IR to say, here's a report of what we've done. But now what we want to do is take all of these disparate sources, analyze them in concert with one another, come out with an outcome, predict something, and take action on it, and then assess to see whether or not that action was effective or not. And once we start doing these pieces, and all at an identifiable level, and that's where a lot of our challenges have come into play. And so keeping the folks, your IRB, your IR offices involved, your faculty folks involved in the conversation, those will help streamline efforts down the road. Is it going to clear every roadblock? No. But it's at least going to give you some of the tools and some of the key players that are going to help smooth those things out in the long run. I think we're about out of time. Kim and Steve and I are happy to hang out if you have other questions. Thank you so much for coming, and for the online folks, thanks for your attention as well.